presenting the message I was going to present. I think I'll talk to you tonight, preach to you tonight, about something in the 11th chapter of Matthew. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew, the 11th chapter, 28 through 30. Now, I know in the 23 years I've been here, you've heard me use this scripture many, 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 many times. And so don't think that tonight you're going to hear the same old dull, boring message. You may, but I think that after you're finished, it'll give you some things to think about. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. In Matthew 11, 28, the Lord Jesus Christ makes an invitation to anyone who's willing to accept it. It's an invitation to the rest of salvation, the assurance of salvation, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Every person who has ever been saved, and there are no exceptions in our time and generation, every person who has ever been saved has been weighed down under a heavy burden of guilt and sin. They have realized that they are sinful. It has bothered them. And the thing that has bothered them more than anything else is, this heavy burden of guilt and sin causes them to realize that they're headed for hell. It causes them to realize that they are not going to be accepted by God and that their future destination is hell. This heavy burden of guilt and sin continually plagues them. They are afraid of hell. They have no desire to go there. And they know they are sinners. Otherwise, they wouldn't be weighted down and burdened with it. Now, it's very plain here how easy and simple salvation is as far as who provided it, who gives it. He says, come unto me. You come to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't come to baptism. You don't come to church. You don't come to good works. You come to a person. You put your faith in that person, and I will give you rest. This is a personal promise. It is an unconditional promise. He said, you come to me. Now, that's conditional. You've got to come to him. But the unconditional promise is, I will give you rest. Well, I did that some 52 years ago. Every one of you sitting here that I've known in the church for a long time, you made a profession of faith at some point in time. You realized you were a sinner. You realized you were headed for hell. You came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave you that rest. And then after you received it, you came to realize just how dependent you were on him. You came to realize that the Scripture said he would never leave you nor forsake you. You came to realize that he was the keeper of your soul. You came to realize your salvation wasn't dependent on what you had done, were doing, or should do. It was based on Christ's completed work on the cross. And you had a rest. I have a rest that I've had for a long time. I'm not going to hell, period. No exception. I am not going to hell. I've been saved. I've been given this rest. It was bought and paid for with the blood of Christ on Calvary. But now what I really want to talk about tonight is a very personal thing. And if you walk out of here with a restless soul, and you continue to have a restless soul, it's not going to be anybody's fault but yours. Many people, after they get saved, never do find any rest. Their whole life is made up of being constantly critical of others. They're constantly looking for something that isn't there. They're always restless inside themselves. They're as nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. And their whole life seems to be spent running around in circles. And there's a very good reason for that. They have the rest and assurance that they're not going to hell, but their life inside where they live, they have a restless soul. Why? Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. You have to take Christ's yoke upon you. You have to be willing to take it. It's a yoke of responsibility. Last week I was in California and we went to an old museum and they had a zygos there, which is what this word is. It had two yokes. You put your head in it, and you pulled a burden. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. When people don't learn from him, the word that is used for learn of me actually means of me from the sense of learning from him. For I am meek and lowly in heart. The interesting thing about this is that many people never come to understand this in life. And I'm talking about church members. Their whole life is one of unrest. They never do learn from Christ. They never do learn of Christ. And they don't know what it means to be meek and lowly in heart. Well, let me, as best I can, try to define what this is saying to you, plain and simple. Who made the universe? Well, the same one who was with the Father in the beginning, the Logos, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was there when Adam was formed? The Son of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are omnipresent. They're omnipotent. And they are all powerful down to the very last degree. So learn of him. Learn about him. You would think someone like that, that could make the sun, the moon, the stars, that could form you in your mother's womb, someone who could save your soul, you would think someone that could destroy universes and create universes would be someone that's unapproachable, someone you couldn't really come to with your problems and troubles, someone who really wouldn't understand. But that's exactly what he's trying to teach you, for I am meek and lowly. He said, keep coming to me. When the Lord wrote through Peter, Peter said something that many children of God never do. And their lives are a shamble inside. And I don't have any motivation in this except to help them. Because my life at one time was a shamble inside. I was saved. But it was a living shamble. I never had found what this verse talks about in just a few moments. I never had really come to understand how weak and impotent and helpless I really was. And it's something that I've come to realize. It's made my life a very happy one. I don't feel threatened anymore. I don't feel like people are going to mistreat me, misuse me, or abuse me. I'm able to live within myself and find rest in my soul. And it's all based on this verse of Scripture. To think that someone as mighty and great as the Lord Jesus Christ would humble himself and listen to this little insignificant, ungodly sinner saved by grace and be the source of my strength and of my life. To think that such a one as great as someone who could create the universe would be there for me, that I could learn from, that I could talk to, that would listen to me, no matter how childish and simple and immature my requests might be, is something that is beyond my comprehension and understanding. And yet I know it's the truth. So why do people have restless souls? There's a very simple reason. It's called unbelief. When Peter wrote, he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. That's the way the Lord communicates with you, through his Word. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. Now the next verse, to whom coming, means to keep on coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Jesus is someone you can come to. Jesus is someone you can pour out your heart to. Jesus is someone who will listen. And Jesus is someone who can help you and do something about it. Jesus is someone that not only will he do something about it, he'll do it the right way. And if you're wrong when you ask him, he won't do it your way. And if you ask him to do it a certain way and he doesn't do it that way, then you were wrong to ask for it in the first place. You see, if you're going to have confidence in Jesus, you've got to have confidence not only in his ability to perform and to destroy and to do all sorts of powerful things, you've got to have confidence in his judgment. You've got to have confidence that he'll do what should be done. And you've got to take the confidence out of yourself and realize that 90% of the time you have no idea what you think you are doing, and rely upon the power of Christ and the judgment of Christ to take care of any situation that arises. Now look at this verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, learn from me, learn about me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. This is quite different from the first. The first, you came to Jesus and he gave you this. No strings attached. The second, after you get saved, there are strings attached. You've got to take that yoke voluntarily. You've got to want to learn about it. You've got to want to desire to know more and more about it. A lot of preachers get discouraged because they run in on Saturday night and look for something to preach. And they themselves never really digest the Word of God. They may understand it. They may spit it out their mouths. They may appear to understand the Word of God, and they do. But the problem is they don't apply it. For, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. This second rest is found. It's obtained by taking a yoke. And notice, it's a rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You say, well, that certainly doesn't seem, you haven't been in the ministry very long if you think it's an easy yoke. Your yoke is just as heavy as you make it. And my burden is light. Your burden is just as heavy as you make it. You're the one that makes it heavy, not the Lord. And the reason that it becomes heavy, a heavy yoke, and a heavy burden, is because of unbelief, and you make it so yourself. You don't find this rest because you don't have confidence and trust and faith in the one who saved your soul. It's a pure case of absolute unbelief, and that's the way it is, and that's the only way it is, and that's the only way it can be. If you want this rest, and you don't want a restless soul, and you want to find some inner peace and satisfaction, you're going to have to develop confidence in the one who saved you. You're going to have to learn from him. You're going to have to learn that this meek and humble and gentle, wonderful man will listen to everything you've got to say, sift it all out, and do something with it that's done right, because that's the only way he knows how to do anything, and that's the right way. You don't have confidence in God, and so you've got a restless soul. Everyone who doesn't have confidence in God after they're saved has a restless soul. They find no rest in their work. They find no rest at home. They find no rest in church. They're always looking for something that doesn't exist except in the mercy of God in Christ and in confidence in him. And they don't understand it. I'm trying to tell you what it is, because it's there, and it's real, and it's genuine. Let's see if we can define this rest, because it's something I ought to have as a child of God. It's something you ought to have. Let's go over to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and I'll give you time to get there. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. This world is full of saved people. There are lots of people that are saved. There are lots of people running around right now, not in church, that are saved. But they have restless souls. There are lots of church members sitting on church pews that have restless souls. There are some people that come to church three times a week and they have restless souls. Why do they have restless souls? Is it God's fault? God forbid. If I have a restless soul, it's my fault. If you have a restless soul after you're saved, it's your fault. Now let's look and see what causes a restless soul. Let's begin in Hebrews 4 and 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. What's he talking about? He's talking about when the nation of Israel, delivered from Egyptian bondage, coming across the Red Sea, the waters of the Red Sea parted before them, going down the Sinai Peninsula, eventually coming up to Kadesh Barnea, sending 12 spies into the place that God had promised that would be a place of rest, the land of rest, the land of Canaan. The 12 spies went in, two came back, Joshua and Caleb, and said, "Wonderful, we can take it." And the other 10 said, "Oh, no way." Why? Unbelief. They had restless souls, all 10 of them. You notice what Joshua and Caleb said? Joshua and Caleb said, "We are more than able to take the land." Didn't make much sense, did it? Here were these giants, land full of Canaanites, and yet these two said, "We are more than able to take the land." Why? They had faith in God. They had trust in God. God had told them they could take it, and God had told them to go up, but they had unbelief. They had belief. They had faith. They had confidence. They had trust. The other 10 had restless souls. They had a lack of confidence in God. If you've got a restless soul, it's because you don't have confidence in God. If you've got a soul that has rest, it's because you do have confidence in the ability of God. It's that plain and it's that simple. And if your life is one of constant critical analysis, and you're always concerned about this and concerned about that and running around in a circle chasing your tail like a dog that tries to whip up a bunk of quail by chasing its tail, you're just wasting your time. You're restless. Your soul hasn't found any rest, and you never will find any rest that way. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Why did those 10 have restless souls? They didn't believe they could take the land. They didn't believe the promise of God. They didn't believe what he said. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after so long a time as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." That's not talking about the rest of salvation. It's not talking about a cold, hard, indifferent, lost heart. A lost heart is by nature hard and cold and indifferent. That's talking about a child of God's heart after they're saved. And they harden it. They harden it to the message of Christ, never do develop any confidence in him, develop tremendous confidence in their own abilities and accusations. They develop tremendous confidence in their ability to do this and do that, but they never have any rest in life. They're always looking for it, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. For if Jesus, that word for Jesus that is used there is Joshua. It's the same God-breathed word translated Joshua as Jesus. That was Jesus' name, Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, they're already people of God. You're already children of God. And there remaineth therefore a rest to you. And if you run around after you've been saved and you have a restless soul, and you worry about your car, and you worry about your house, and you worry about your money, and you worry about your future, and you worry about this, and you worry about that, you're concerned about this, you're concerned about that, and your whole life is just a big beehive of what do I need to do to change this? How can I adjust that? How can I take care of this? This needs to be done. This person ought to be doing this. That person ought to be doing that. The church ought to be going this way. It ought to be going that way. And you just run around in circles, and you're not at rest. You have a restless soul. The reason you have a restless soul is because you've never come to understand that you can't do a blinking thing without the power of God that's right. And you have to learn from His Word, and you have to learn about Jesus, and you go to Jesus and pour out your heart to Him. Tell Him what your problem is. Tell Him what you think the problems are, and then stand back and let the Lord solve it. And if He doesn't do it your way, don't think it was because He didn't hear your prayer. It was because you didn't ask for the right thing. Don't wander around and waste your life with a restless soul and suffer all the way to heaven with a restless soul going to heaven, not because it's not saved, but because it's restless. Notice what it says next. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now look back up at verse 4. And he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now look down at verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now let's put some things together and ask yourself if they aren't true. Didn't Jesus wander around with a bunch of ragtail fishermen and a traitor for more than 3 years? And didn't they bungle and bobble everything that came up? Did he ever really get angry with them? No. The only time he ever got angry was when he found a bunch of money changers in his father's house, turning it into merchandise and merchandising the house of God. That's the only time he ever got irritated. And it was a spiritual irritation of righteous indignation. It was not a sin. The Lord was very patient with those men. He listened to them. They'd ask him, Lord, they wanted fire called down from heaven. He said, you know not what manner of men you are. They were always trying to take what Jesus said and trying to work it into their own ideas and their own theology. And it didn't work. Do you know this man was the creator of the universe that walked with him? So let's put some things together. Who are you? Who am I? And who is he? Paul said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He has the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the man Christ Jesus. Paul said that. He also said, just before he gave the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, 18, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. It indicates very clearly in the first chapter of John that this man was there when the world was created. This man has always been. He is eternal. Now, why do people have restless souls? Because they don't turn their problems over to God and let God solve it all. I've learned to do that. And it's my prayer that by the grace of God, I'll continue to do that. You say, well, now that you've learned that principle, I suppose you're going to continue forever. Not necessarily, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. I've learned who He is. He is the creator of all things. You say, I know that. A lot of people have a lot of mental knowledge, and they think that if you get all the scriptures stored up here and you get everything up there like a computer, that you're going to be able to follow God perfectly. Some of the greatest Christians I've ever known didn't know zip about the Bible because of the environment in which they were raised, and yet they were some of the finest Christians who ever walked on the face of the earth. So it isn't the actual complete accrual of Bible knowledge. It's using what you understand for the honor and glory of God, having confidence in God's ability. So what does it mean, God finished his rest? God made the universe, and on the seventh day, he rested. I got saved when I was 12, scripturally baptized when I was 23, called into the ministry when I was 38 years old. And it wasn't too long ago that I finally entered into the rest that the Lord is talking about, and my soul is no longer restless. It's just not restless anymore. Why? God finished His work. I have confidence in God's ability to work. I have confidence in Him. I believe that I'm powerless except by the power of God in Christ Jesus. I believe what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I get up in the morning. I ask God to forgive me of my sins. I start going through the day, and every time I have a thought that's out of line with God, and I do that constantly, I ask God to forgive me. Every time I start to get irritated about some situation, I ask God to forgive me. I ask God to forgive me just as quick as it happens, because I don't like a restless soul. I turn it over to God. I don't like to think and worry about things. God's work is finished. It's complete. I don't need any help except God's help. And I believe that if a person will get up every morning, learn about who it is that their Savior is, won't harden their heart, for he that has entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. My works aren't worth a dime, because my works are of the flesh. And if what I do isn't in accordance with the leadership of God's Spirit, and if what I do is not done in love, it's of the flesh. And if I try to solve problems by my flesh, and I try to manipulate and move people by activities of the flesh, and I ask God to do certain things that are not in accordance with His Word, then I'm trying to serve God in the flesh. Look, I've ceased from my own works. I can't do anything to help God. But what I can do is respond to His Spirit. By this shall you know them, that they love the brethren. So when I see a particular situation that involves something that wants to irritate my carnal man, I just love whoever it is, or whatever it is, the situation that exists. And I turn it over into God's hands with no prejudgment of what needs to be done, no assessment of what I think ought to be done. And I just turn it over to God. I lay it like a small child in His hands, and I say, Lord, work this out. Why? I've ceased from my own works. I can't help God. I'm not capable, and you're not capable. I don't have a restless soul anymore. I constantly gone on the road. People say, how do you do that? I don't have a restless soul. People that don't understand that need to. And if you have a restless soul, you need to stop trying to work things out yourself. You need to quit trying to finagle and move things to suit your own way and asking God and wanting God to do it your way. You need to just get up every morning and tell the Lord, whatever you want, Lord, I want to do today. And then go through the day and don't worry about whether you're doing it or not. Believe me, God will let you know if you aren't. And then live each day, one day at a time. Take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow's to take care of itself. We spend far too much time worrying about what the future is going to bring, when James specifically told us by the leadership of God's Spirit not to do it. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I've discovered he's very easy to talk to. He's very easy to turn your problems over to. He's very forgiving. He's very merciful, very kind, very gentle. And yet he has the power of King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So when I go to him and talk to him about a problem, I don't tell him what I think needs to be done, because I don't know what needs to be done. I just ask God to help me solve the problem in love and to conduct myself in such a way that His Spirit is pleased with my activity. And I trust God to lead me, and I trust God to keep me, and I trust God to push me onto the right track. I don't have a restless soul anymore. It can get restless. Notice what it says, 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. It's a continuous effort. It isn't something that once you've reached some spiritual plateau and you say, finally I've arrived and the rest of you need to get there. It's not that kind of a thing at all. Didn't mean to imply that or even suggest it in any way. It's something that you labor at every day. And every time that the flesh comes against you and you want to get angry and you want to get irritated and you want to get even, and you want to get mad, and you want to change something, and you want to politic, or you want to do this, or you want to do that, every time that happens, then I simply say, God, forgive me. Help me, Lord, to have not a restless soul, but a soul that's at rest. Why didn't they enter in the promised land? They didn't believe God could do it. They didn't believe God would help them. They didn't believe God would keep his promise. Listen, this man who saved me, this man who led me to scriptural baptism, and this man who called me to preach is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his name is a name that is above every name. And that man can do everything. So I'd be a fool if I didn't turn my problems and my worries and my cares and my concerns over to him. He's the one who saved me, led me to scriptural baptism, and called me to preach. So I'd be a fool, a spiritual fool, not to have confidence in his ability to solve any problem I had. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. It said, hey, take my yoke upon you. That's a labor. As long as you're laboring for Christ, and willing to follow his way, confess your sins, admit that he knows what he's doing and you don't, you'll never find the rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's not talking about falling from grace. That's not talking about going to hell. It's talking about falling away from a confidence in the one who saved you and growing to be a child of God whose faith is evident and apparent. Someone who really does trust in the Lord. Someone who really does have confidence in him. I tell you, why torture yourself? I tortured myself for most of my life. Most of my life, I was saved when I was 12, and my soul was restless and tortured and unhappy. When I came here to pastor this church, I had a restless soul. I did not understand what I'm telling you now. And I tried to help and do the thing. Did I do anything wrong? No. I did the things the Scripture said, and I worked so hard to please God. But the problem was, I was constantly concerned in the flesh about things, and more concerned about the vanity of my own pride and my own arrogance and my own heart rather than the things of God. I just turn it over to God. So if you get irritated with me and you don't like me and you get mad about something, hey, all I'm going to do is just tell the Lord, Lord, help them. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to care about you. I'm going to love you. And I'm going to get up in the morning and turn my problems and my woes and my troubles and my concerns and my cares over to God. Why? I've entered into his rest. There's nothing I can do. And usually, most of the time, when I try to solve a problem involving personality conflicts, I end up making it worse. And the one thing I don't want to do is to feel threatened. Why should I feel threatened? If God doesn't want me here, then I don't want to be here. And that's very simple and very plain. But I have a soul that's at rest. People say, I don't see how you can go and do all these trips, 30 to 40 a year. I don't have a restless soul. If I had a restless soul, I'd have had 16 cases of ulcer up to now. The only thing I get tired. My flesh gets tired. He gets worn out. But my soul is at rest with God. Now, what I'm really saying to you is this. Take his yoke on you. Start being where you're supposed to be in church. Make your life count for something. Don't have a restless soul. Learn to turn things over to God. Now, let's get down to the real nitty-gritty. Where did I learn all this? It's not of natural man. Right out of this book. That's why John and I spend so much time, and Kenneth and the other teachers in the church, John, Kenneth, myself, Harold Walker, that's why we spend so much time talking to you about this word. This word is what teaches you about yourself. You really don't understand yourself, and you don't understand your soul either. I don't say I understand my soul completely, but I understand this book. And this book tells me it will help me to understand who I am and what I am, and it will help my soul to find rest. I've been saved 52 years. What my soul needs now is rest. And the rest is a growing confidence in God's ability. The children of Israel, 10 of them that went up there, had restless souls. 2 of them had souls that were at rest. They had confidence in God. The nation of Israel, by and large, was a restless bunch of people. There were many children of God there, and yet they had restless souls. So what's the secret? Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick. It means quickening, makes alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. You want to understand yourself? then take a look at this. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. The Word of God can help you to understand what you are. You see, many times your flesh tries to serve God. Oh, the flesh is an enmity against God, indeed cannot believe in God, but it can be religious. And many times your flesh gets control and you think, this is God working in me because this ought to be done this way, this ought to happen this way, this ought to happen that way. And when it doesn't happen your way, you think that somebody is violating what God wanted. It's because your flesh gets a hold of you. But this book helps you to divide in yourself. As you study this book, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, you begin to understand yourself better. Piercing into the dividing of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, that's your carnality. That's your carnal man. Pretty soon you begin to see that your flesh has been serving God. You just thought it was your spirit. And your soul's been deceived by your flesh. The flesh works on your soul. It wants your soul to follow it. The spirit works on the soul. It wants the soul to follow it. For the Word of God is quick. That's a quickening instrument. And the Word of God was written by the Spirit. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so this quickening instrument that God has given you, as you go through it and apply it to yourself, don't sit and apply it to other people. Apply it to yourself. I try to apply this to myself. And the only reason I'm preaching it to you is because I'm a God-called preacher and I'm trying to tell you what I do to myself and how it helps me to find rest personally. Piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. Now notice this. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll tell you. It won't take you long to figure out whether it's your soul that's leading you, whether it's your spirit that's leading your soul, or whether it's your flesh that's leading your soul. And whenever you find out your flesh is leading your soul by studying this book, then turn right around and say, God, I'm sorry, I repent. Lord, I want this rest. I'm sorry. And don't be guilty of unbelief and unconfidence in God. And let the Spirit of God strengthen your inner soul and your inner man. And you'll find a rest and a peace that comes after salvation because you have confidence in the Word of God. And when God says something, you believe it. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Listen, God knows everything. You think you know a lot. I think I know a lot. We don't know zip. God knows everything. So why not study His Word and find out about yourself? And why not just tell God, I'm a dummy? You ashamed of being a dummy? Well, that's what I am. The Bible indicates there is none righteous, no, not one. So before I was saved, I didn't have any righteousness. Now I have the imputed righteousness of Christ. He gave it to me by faith. He gave me my salvation. He gave me my physical life in my mother's womb. He gave me my spiritual life. And He's given me this book. So why can't I trust Him? Why can't I turn my life over to Him? Why can't I follow Him? Why can't I find rest? The only reason you can't find rest is because of a lack of confidence in God, and the nice word for that is unbelief. It's a lack of confidence in God. You've got confidence in your own ability to discern things. Discern it from the Word of God. Now remember that scripture. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Look at this verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God, here comes your unbelief, and here comes what causes people to have restless souls. Let us hold fast our profession. You made a profession of faith. You put your faith and confidence in Christ to save you. Now put your faith and confidence in Him to keep you, to direct you, to lead you, to teach you from the Word of God. For I am meek and lowly in heart. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You think He doesn't understand your problem? You think He doesn't understand your inner being? You think He doesn't understand your soul? He made it. You think He doesn't understand it? He died for it. You think He doesn't care? You think He won't listen? Nobody ever loved you like Jesus, and nobody ever will. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus, and nobody ever will. Now, here's how you find rest for your soul. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here's what I've learned after 23 years here. I hope whoever follows me as pastor doesn't have to take as long to learn it as I did. It's something that I still labor at. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. If I don't continually try and study God's Word, let it continually show me the error of my ways and of my thinking. If I don't stay on track and be submissive to God's will and let this Word speak to me and let it reveal to me, my soul is open and the thoughts and intents of my heart are open. I need to understand what they are, and this Word can tell me. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So let me tell you what I do every day. I get up in the morning. I realize who I am. A little helpless, sinful nobody that got saved 52 years ago. A little helpless nobody that God led by His Spirit to be baptized properly. A little helpless nobody that God called to preach. This isn't false humility. This is what I am. I am a bought and paid for doulos. That's the word used for servant. I was bought off the slave block by the Lord Jesus Christ with His blood. Paul said, what? Know ye not that ye are not your own? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All I am is somebody that God made in a woman's womb 64 years ago. And here I stand. The first thing you've got to learn is who you are. Pretty close to a zero, if not a zero. Then you learn who Jesus is, creator of all things, yet He's meek and lowly in heart. So what do? I turn my problems over to Him. When something happens in the church, a situation arises and develops, I don't run to God anymore and try to tell God, here's what we need to do, Lord. I don't try to politic, cover the thing up. I don't try to mudsling it. I don't try to get even. I don't try to make it right. I just go to the Lord and I say, Lord, whatever I'm supposed to do in this situation, I want to do. Forgive me of my sins, and Lord, help me to do it the way You want. And I don't have a restless soul anymore. I found rest. I've got confidence in God's ability to keep this church going the way it should. And I've got confidence in God's ability to lead you the way you should be led. What you and I need to do is to act on God's promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we need to learn to be content with such things as we have. It's a learned activity. And we learn it from God's Word. As Kay and Johnny come, we'll have one stanza of invitation. And I'd ask you tonight to look in your heart, and I'd ask you very simply, what kind of soul do you have? If inside where you live you say, I got a restless soul. Okay, that's no problem. Here's the problem. What are you going to do about it? You say, what do I have to do? Let us labor, therefore, to enter that rest. You want that rest? Are you a child of God? You got a restless soul? Then start working at it. Start telling God that's what you want, and start putting more confidence in God and less confidence in yourself. What number, John? 300.